In the name of the God who created us, the Christ who redeems us, and the Spirit that sustains us all, welcome home, children of God. It is a joy to see everyone this morning. A few announcements in the life of the church this morning when you came in. Hopefully you got a hymnal. If you did not, I would invite you to obviously or surreptitiously make your way to the narthex and grab one. They are not in the pews this week. We took them all up so that we could add the nameplates to the new hymnals and make sure we had all of them correctly done. So if you did not get a hymnal before worship, I encourage you to pick one up. Also, if you need a large print text hymnal, those have come in as well. They have the black covers and are also on the book cart in the narthex. If you require the large print text, those are here now as well. We have an announcement from Presbyterian Women this morning, from Kay, I believe. It's going to announcement for PW.
We're going to be having, I'll have the books out in the foyer for sale. Several of you I've already caught and gotten your money. If you need a large print book, they're 15 and a regular is 10. But please see me after church for books, Horizon Bible Studies.
Can you say a word about what these books are?
They are. Well, this study is called Let's Justice Roll Down. Last study was a really good one. They are written by different people each year, and the fact they have to be pretty well vetted and who writes up the book. And they're a Bible lesson, yes, but it's a lot of fellowship that we do when we meet together. So you really don't even have to read the study book before you come. You don't even have to have a study book to come. That's not a requirement either. And it's just a time that we can get together and enjoy each other and find the Word of the Lord in a different way.
And the PW Bible study is always one of the best Bible studies out there each year, so I'm sure this one will be no exception to that. Treats and Treasures is well underway. If you walked into the gym a week ago and you wondered where is all this stuff going to go, go look now. The elves have been busy. It is filling up fast. A lot of things are dropped off yesterday. Furniture pickup and drop-off is scheduled for this coming Saturday. Is that correct, Carol? And if you have not already made an appointment to have furniture picked up or dropped off, please be sure to do that. It helps to keep the traffic a little less traffic jammed back in the back of the building and make sure we have enough strong backs to help move things. If you have donations you would like to make, please do get in touch with one of the co-chairs of Treats and Treasures so they can arrange to have those things dropped off. And remember, we do not take clothing as part of Treats and Treasures. That's one of the things we do not sell as part of a sale. Volunteer times are on the flyer you received last week, and it will also be in the care line. So if you'd like to come help price and rearrange and organize things, there's always room for an extra pair of hands. So to everyone who's already volunteered, thank you. To those who have not yet volunteered, thank you. Finally, this morning, for whatever reason, I kept getting phone calls and text messages from a reporter from the Democrat Gazette, and finally found out when I spoke to her the other day that through some quirk of providence, Westover Hills is one of the five churches that will be in their readers' poll this year for best places to worship in Central Arkansas. I know. Apparently the best-kept secret in Little Rock is getting out. There's a blurb in the bulletin about it today. They will be publishing this Reader's Choice section in the paper on the 11th. And if you are a Democrat Gazette subscriber or if you know some, take a moment and vote for your favorite barbecue joint, taco stand, and Presbyterian church. If nothing else, it is really, really nice to know that our ministry is being recognized and folks are finding out about this wonderful community of faith. So to everyone who helped make this possible, thank you. And to those who might just give us a vote, thank you too. Now, friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad in it. And together, let us worship God.
Children of God, please stand for our call to worship. Let all the people praise you, O God.
Let all the people praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon the earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
Sojourning God, we pray that you will make yourself known to us in times of ease and times of struggle. Help us to hear the calls of the oppressed and the poor. Guide us to live in ways that we do not elevate our needs and wants over those of our neighbors. Call us to heed the voice of the prophets, to step out in faith and put our neighbors' needs as important as our own. In the name of Christ, who loves us even when we try to walk away, even when we think the sacrifice is too great, and give us renewed hope, we pray. Amen. Now let us pray together our prayer of confession. Most gracious God, who gives the fruits to the earth for the benefit of all your creatures, we give thanks to you for abundant harvest and plentiful food. We pray for those in our land who are denied the gift and seek your forgiveness for our complicity and ignorance. We pray for those whose voices are not heard, and for those who do not hear. Forgive us when our choices are selfish, and forgive us especially when we do not choose to raise our own voice against the pain of those among us who suffer needless want. Most of all, God, we give you thanks for the revelation of your love in Jesus Christ, who came and seven run abundant life. Amen.
Friends, the proof of God's amazing love is this, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Please share signs of Christ's peace with your neighbors. This morning we wrap up our journey with the prophet Jonah, Jonah chapter 4. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Jonah thought that what the Lord had done was utterly wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Come on, Lord, wasn't this precisely my point when I was back in my own land? This is why I fled to Tarshish earlier. I know that you are a merciful and compassionate God, very patient, full of faithful love, and willing not to destroy. At this point, Lord, you may as well take my life from me, because it would be better for me to die than to live." The Lord responded, "Is your anger a good thing?" But Jonah went out from the city. He sat down east of the city. There he made himself a hut and sat under it in the shade to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a shrub, and it grew over Jonah, providing shade for his head and saving him from his misery. Jonah was very happy about the shrub. But God provided a worm the next day at dawn, and it attacked the shrub so that it died. Then as the sun rose, God provided a dry east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint. He begged that he might die, saying, "It's better for me to die than to live." God said to Jonah, "Is your anger about the shrub a good thing?" Jonah said, "Yes, my anger is good, even unto the point of death." But the Lord said, "You pitied the shrub for which you didn't work and which you didn't raise. It grew in a night and perished in a night. Yet for my part, I can't pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who can't tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals." The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Should it please you, O God, to speak to this unworthy servant, and speak, and in this at all times, speak to us as only you can, in the silence of our hearts. Amen. Well, I figured I started Jonah down here, I might as well finish Jonah down here. We've had quite a journey with Jonah the last few weeks, haven't we? It was just 3 Sundays ago when we read that Jonah had been called by God by name and given a task and told where to go. And what did Jonah do? He got up and he went somewhere else. We talked that morning about how sometimes it's easier for us to hear God's call and to take it where we think we want to go rather than where God is calling us to go. But God's destination is the one we're really called for, right? Well, when Jonah did that, he got on the ship and the sailors were terrified because a great storm came and tossed the ship around side to side and up and down. It was about to be swamped. So they threw Jonah overboard and everything was fine for them. Jonah found himself being digested by a giant fish. Sitting there in the belly of the whale. One of my favorite images of that, by the way, I remember this from Sunday school at Second Presbyterian Church. It was a cartoon of Jonah in the belly of the whale building a campfire. He knew he was going to be there a while. God caused that whale to throw Jonah up onto the shore. And we talked that week a lot about how we all have that whale. That part of being bearers of the gospel of Jesus Christ is journeying through the whale sometimes. Once Jonah got on the shore, he finally went to the city of Nineveh. And he proclaimed to them last week in his best prophet of the Old Testament voice, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And that's all he said. Not many words for a big message. And the people of Nineveh looked at him and said, you're probably right. We do have some amending of our ways to do. And that's where we pick up the story today. At the beginning of chapter 4, he has preached to the people of Nineveh. They have listened to him. They have accepted God's call to them to change their ways. And God, at the end of the book of Jonah, does something that baffles Presbyterian and Reformed theologians to this day. God changes God's mind. God changes God's mind and says, I'm not going to destroy the city. So Jonah, the prophet, who ran away, had his underwater aquatic adventure, finally got to Nineveh, finally did what God wanted him to do, did it so well that the people listened to him and repented, and God actually changes God's mind. The only time God does that in the Old Testament, by the way, Abraham tries to get God to do it, but he can't quite close the deal. God changes God's mind. Jonah has done what no one has been able to do before. So what does Jonah do? He does what any good adult would do. He walks out of the city and passive-aggressively pouts. He walks out of the city, plops himself down, builds a tent, and folds his arms to just watch what's going to happen. How dare God spare these people? See, we don't realize it until the end that for Jonah, being a prophet was mostly about being right. And the way he knew he was right was because somebody else was wrong. But when they listened to him, Jonah didn't know what to do with that. Jonah's whole idea of the Word of God, his whole idea of his prophetic message, his whole understanding of his being as a prophet was defined as being over and against them. You know them, right? You've met them. There are lots of thems out there. They, all those theys that we set ourselves up against. I may be a sinner, but at least I'm not fill in the blank here. Exactly. Them is how Jonah defined himself. He didn't find himself an identity as a prophet called by God. He did not find himself identified through the Word of God. He found himself defined by not being what they were. And when he lost his them, he kind of lost himself. So he pouts. Plops himself down outside the city. I'll show them. I'm going to build a tent where I can still see them and they can see my suffering. The Lord makes a tree to bloom over him and then turns it into a stick. And Jonah just sits there with his arms folded, waiting for God to do the right thing and destroy them. How often do we find ourselves falling into the trap of Jonah? Defining what we believe over and against what someone else does? Even when we don't think we're doing it, sometimes we are. I have a good friend from seminary who I don't agree with about much. And this is a really, really thoughtful pastor. She is somebody who I think is one of the best pastors in PCUSA, to be honest with you. She's a brilliant mind. She's a thoughtful pastor. She's a caring pastor. She's just wrong most of the time. And I think she would probably describe me the same way. And for the last 25 years, our job has been to point out how the other one is wrong when we get together. Now, our debates can be pretty heated, but they're very good-natured. A few years ago, we were both at Columbia for the same lectures, and we saw one another. We were having dinner after the lecture, and I was making some very astute and correct observation about what the speaker had said. And she countered that by saying, "Yeah, I think you're right." And I said, "Yeah, I know you think I'm right." "What? What? You think I'm what?" It ended up turning into a long conversation about how our theologies had changed over the years. Both of us. There were some things that she'd been pressing me on for a long time that I had finally said, "Yeah, she's right." Things she'd been pressing me on for a long time saying, "Yeah, he's right." Both of us in that moment came to the realization that Jonah comes to in his story. Sometimes, when you proclaim the Word of God, people listen. Believe it or not, sometimes people listen. Now, saying that as a preacher who hopes they listen week after week, but I do know that every once in a while there's a little... You know, we have lunch. Getting a little long in the tooth there, but preacher, let's wrap it up. Now, when people listen to the Word of God, something amazing happens. It's what happened in Nineveh. It's what happens a lot of places. People change. The world they help shape changes. And sometimes that can be really jarring for us if we've been promoting that change. Because all of a sudden, we're no longer on opposite sides of a wall from one another. All of a sudden, this person that I have been viewing and understanding and talking to as part of them has all of a sudden become part of us. That can be a frightening proposition sometimes. But it can also be a transformational one. One of the members of my church in Jackson was William Winter. William Winter is a pillar of Mississippi politics. William first ran for the legislature in 1947. He was in public service until he left the governor's mansion in the 80s. He ran for governor four times, won once. Ran for the Senate twice, lost both times. Served one term as Mississippi's governor, and is consistently rated as one of the best governors in the history of the state. Because he worked tirelessly for the 4 years that he was in office, and for the years after that until he died in 2017, William worked tirelessly, day in and day out, for Mississippi public schools and to fight discrimination in the heart of Jim Crow land. And he did all of that as the former chairman of the Grenada, Mississippi White Citizens Council. Yeah. This pillar of civil rights in Mississippi didn't start there. He didn't start there. He started in a very different, dark place. But he had the fortune, the very good fortune, at Founder and Presbyterian Church in Jackson, of their founding pastor, who over the years of that church's ministry and that church's teachings, just drip, 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 until one day William found himself saturated by the word and the justice of God. And he was a new man after that. That can happen in the world, friends, if we will let it. But the first thing we have to do is we have to let go of our theming. We have to do what Jonah couldn't do. We have to stop looking at people as if they are totally other than we are, no matter how much we disagree. Moody McDill, who was the pastor at Fondren, marched at Selma. He was a correspondence friend with Dr. King. His house was bombed the same day the synagogue in Jackson was bombed. He was no stranger to the realities of the movement in Mississippi in the 1950s and 1960s. But he never themed the members of his congregation that he was trying to move the needle with. He built a community of us. He built a community where you build people into disciples of Jesus Christ one moment at a time, one conversation at a time, one act of generosity at a time. When we them other people, we totally separate ourselves from one another. When we them other people, we do what God explicitly tells us not to do in Scripture. God calls us all children of God. All of us. Each and every one. You, me, and them. We are all God's children. Now, like any family, there are some of God's children that we like to sit at the other end of the Thanksgiving table from. But it doesn't change the fact that we are God's children and we are family. We are connected together by the mercy and the grace and the love of God. And there is no one who has ever drawn breath on the earth who falls outside of it. There is no them in Christ. There is no them in God's love and mercy. And friends, as we go through the next 90 plus days of the silly season before Election Day mercifully arrives and we can start fighting about something else, we are going to watch our culture tear itself asunder with a fundamentally flawed vocabulary of them. They want this. They will destroy. They are the worst there ever has been. The job of the Church of Jesus Christ is to look past this moment, to look with eyes that Jonah lacked, to see past that vocabulary of otherness and to seek out in one another that glimpse of the image of God, that light of the love of Jesus Christ that dwells in and exists in everyone, all of us, all of them. Everywhere we go, whether we know or do not know the people we encounter, we do know one thing. We are encountering children of God. And when our theology is built on that foundation, when our theology is built on the foundation of God's all, rather than our them, you can't imagine the world that we can build together. But like Jonah learned, the dangerous part of preaching the word of the Lord in the world is sometimes people listen. Sometimes the people you're counting on not listening, listen. Sometimes you may find that when the place cards are set around the heavenly banquet table, you're going to find yourself in the them section. I already know who I'm sitting next to. For those who are longtime Presbyterians, I have a firm belief in my heart that on my first evening in the heavenly kingdom, I'm going to be seated between Roberta Hestenes and Parker Williamson. For those who are Presbyterians, you know what I'm talking about. We are not called to be children of God to gather the people who are like us or who even like us. We are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all who need to hear it, who need to know that the mercy and the love and the compassion of God transcends every wall, every boundary, every border, everything. And that in the eyes of God, it is always us. Always us. And that them, in God's eyes, has a population of zero. Amen.
Thank you. It's my week to give the Matthew 25 ministry, and it's going to be a couple of minutes. The first thing I want to say is that we are very close to rolling out the Breeze program, and once that is in place, I will be leading developing the calendars and getting all of those ready to use. So, and then secondly, on the prayer requests, I've been asked to remind us that there are, you've got the separate areas of the care line to click for the announcements and for the prayer requests. And they asked me to demonstrate, and you also have the, you know, the QR codes in the bulletin. So one is for prayer requests, and I've got to get my technology, if it'll cooperate. And it's not. I don't know what. Okay. It's working, finally. So, I want to send a prayer request. It looks like it needs it, and so it's going to ask you to put your name and your information in first, and then below that you'll put your, there's a, another space to click to put your prayer request in, and then once all of that is filled out, then you click the submit button. So I don't know, you know, obviously I don't have time to fill all of that out right now, but I will send a prayer request to Caleb for all the, and his new wife, for all the assistance that he has done and continues to do for us. So, thanks.
Good morning. I'm going to speak to you about treats and treasures. But first of all, I want to thank everyone who has graciously and generously donated to our Presbyterian Women's fundraiser. We've had an overwhelming amount of donations. And even more appreciation goes to our dedicated worker bee volunteers. Without them, we would have no treats and treasures. It's amazing to see how yesterday they came in and just attacked the job and got so much accomplished. This year, we have made a couple of changes in our shopping. First, there will be no pre-purchasing of items before our pre-sale on Friday night. And with our prices being so reasonable, we have decided to raise our pre-sale Friday night cost to $10 per person. And as in the past, our preschool teachers will be given a complimentary entrance to the Friday night sale. Now, don't forget the dates and the times. The pre-sale is on Friday, August 16th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Our sale is on Saturday, August 17th, from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then on Sunday, August 18th, we're having our half-price sale from 12 noon to 3 p.m. And we're looking forward to seeing you all next weekend.
Friends, all that we have and all that we are gifts from God's loving hands. Let's return to God our tithes and our offerings. You'll find the offering boxes at the front of the intermediate aisles of the church. This morning when you came in and found the hymnals on the cart outside, that was there because we have received our second shipment of Glory to God hymnals along with the large print text editions, and many of those were given in honor and in memory of loved ones, so those nameplates have been affixed inside of them. So this morning, as we do the dedication prayer, I'm going to invite you to pick up your hymnal that you have and open it to the very front cover. And when we get to that part of the liturgy, I hope that you will, when you're invited, say the name of the person in whose memory or honor your hymnal has been given. So friends, join me, if you will, in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, giver of every good thing, we give you thanks for the majesty and wonder of your creation. And we give you thanks for those who can see in that wonder the rhythms and the words, the music and the meter to bring to life the beauty around us through song and through instrument. God of life, you filled this world with beauty. So we thank you for the artists and writers, for the committee members, and all who contributed to the Glory to God hymnal, that it may be an instrument of worship and beauty for us in this place. Keep us attentive, O God, to the wonder of your works and to the miracle of your word, that as we sing together, our words may be signs of love and devotion revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We give you thanks, O God, for those whose generosity made it possible for us to have this resource in our community of faith. And we give you thanks for those whose love and whose ministry is honored and remembered as we say together the names of those in whose names these hymnals are given. For these and all your servants who have inspired us in faith and in better living, we give you thanks. And now, O God, as we offer thanks for this new resource in worship, and we give thanks for the gift of music in your church, hear us as we join our voices together and sing. Amen. friends, it's time now that we gather at God's table. This is a table where all of God's children are welcomed and assembled from north and south, from east and west. We come to the table together to taste, to see, and to know that the Lord is indeed good. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us thus far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Your hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. We give you thanks on the night when he was betrayed. Christ gathered at table with his friends, and giving thanks to you, he took bread and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat, and do this remembering me." In the same manner, he took the cup, poured it, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for all of you. Drink it and remember me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again in glory. Remembering, therefore, the death and resurrection of Christ, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus. And may all God's people say, Amen. Friends, these are the gifts that God has given to us. Let us give thanks to God using the words that Christ gave us as we pray boldly together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, all is prepared. Elders, please come serve God's people.
You can hold my hand when you need to let go. I can be a mountain when you're feeling valley low. I can be a street light showing you the way home. If you hold my hand when you need to let go. I want a house with a crowded table and a place by the fire for everyone. Let us take on the world while we're young and able, and bring us back together when the day is done. If we want a garden, we're gonna have to sow the seeds, plant a little happiness, let the roots run deep. If it's love that we give, then it's love that we reap. If we want a garden, then we're gonna sow the seeds. Yeah, I want a house with a crowded table and a place by the fire for everyone. Let us take on the world while we're young and able, and bring us back together when the day is done. The door is always open, your picture's on my wall, and everyone's a little broken, and everyone belongs. Yeah, everyone belongs. I want a house with a crowded table and a place by the fire for everyone. Let us take on the world while we're young and able, and bring us back together when the day is done. And bring us back together when the day is done.
Let's pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's blessings. Amen.
Thank you.
friends, it's been a journey with Jonah the last 4 weeks. I hope you will join us next week as we start the same journey together through the book of Ruth. A very different story with a lot of interesting twists. But for now, friends, go into this day. Love, serve the Lord with gladness and with singleness of heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the everlasting companionship of the Holy Spirit be with us and keep us in this and in every day. In one voice may all God's children say, Amen. Amen.